All right, here we are. We're second week in on the series on the fruit of the Spirit, which, if you're confused, is in Galatians chapter 5, not in John 14. Last week, we briefly touched on love, and then because of Michael preaching a sermon on love very recently and very well done as well, we decided not to recover that topic, but we covered joy last week, which I had made mention is something it seems like our world is lacking in a lot of right now. We talked about how oftentimes these fruit of the Spirit, these virtues, these descriptives of a life that is being led by the Spirit of God often get replaced with cheap imitations. And we talked about how joy often is substituted for happiness. And we're content to go along with attributing happiness as though it is joy that comes from the Spirit. Meanwhile, our happiness comes and goes, and it is not on a strong foundation, but on a foundation of how I'm feeling today and how things are going, if they're going my way or not. When we talked about how joy, if, as rightly understood, coming from the Spirit, is for sure a positive emotion maybe of the soul, that gives you a positive outlook regardless of the circumstances in your life. It doesn't mean that every day you're going to be smiling. It doesn't mean that you're going to be singing happy tunes every day of the week, because not everything is hunky-dory. But joy is something that is based on the God of the gospel, who gave us his Son to rescue us from our sin. And so our joy, knowing that if God sent his Son to die for us, to pay a price that we had incurred that we could not pay, and that in the end we get to inherit the kingdom of God and live with him for all of eternity, joy cannot be stolen from us if we keep our perspective on the God of the gospel and what he is doing. This week, if you're in Galatians 5 or if you haven't memorized, the topic of the fruit of the Spirit this week is that of peace. Now, I say peace, and probably the same things happen in your mind as it did last week. Peace doesn't seem to be something that is overly abundant for any of us or in our world today. But again, peace is this kind of like abstract idea that we don't really know how to understand what it is or what it's not, or how do we have it, or how do we get it, how do we keep it. And so today we want to talk about the word peace. In our scripture reading from John chapter 14, Jesus, on the night before he was going to be crucified, was talking to his disciples and told them that he was going to leave with them his peace. And if you read back where we started, he is directly connecting this to the Spirit of truth, which he sent after his ascension on Pentecost into the church, where the Spirit would indwell believers for all of eternity, something that was a change from what was happening before in the Old Testament and prior to Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. The Spirit would fall upon leaders, fall upon craftsmen, fall upon individuals for a time, but would not live there. And Jesus was saying, after I die on the cross, after I come back to life, after I go to be with my Father is going to leave with you this Spirit that will bring you peace. So, Jesus promising peace, and everything else that he had said so far had come true, and everything that he said would happen actually happens, even Peter betraying him. We should then assume then that this promise has been fulfilled, that the Spirit has come, and the Spirit has come to give us peace. Great. So let's go home and have peace. How many of y'all had more joy just because we like were like, oh, have more joy? As we talked about with joy last week, it is something that the Spirit intends to lead God's children into. But it is not something that the Spirit just randomly gifts or decides that if we want it, we will have it. Peace, again, has to be something much deeper than just a good, calm feeling. We often think about peace, and we use it in many different ways. We'll say, like, I just don't feel peace about this. which just means like you don't feel confident about doing whatever you're just saying, right? Well, you know, the good old Christianese words are like, I don't feel like God is giving me peace in this decision, which might not be wrong, but that's how we think about it. It's like, well, I don't have a good, calm feeling about stuff, so therefore I must not have peace. We think about peace in a couple different other ways as well. Often we think about peace in contrast to like chaos, right? It's very hard for us to be at peace at home when our home is a complete wreck, right? We got laundry all over the place, toys spilled all over the floor down the stairway, stepping on Legos in the middle of the night, right? It's hard to have peace in a chaotic situation is how we think about peace. That it's like a relaxing, everything's going okay, as opposed to everything's going out of control. We also think about peace in contrast to stress. I know many of us, myself included, at our jobs have an element of stress to them, where there seems to be no time to do anything well thought out ahead of time, and everything is rush, 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 and everything falls on you, and everything has to happen exactly as it was planned, or else everything's going to fall apart and the world's going to end, apparently. But we often think about how if I have stress, I don't have peace. We might also think about peace in contrast to that of worry. And there we're getting a little bit closer to what the Bible talks about. Even in this passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's telling them that I'm going to leave you this peace, so therefore don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. But oftentimes we just assume if I am worried or concerned or feel anxiety about something, therefore I don't have peace. And if we account for all of these different ways that we talk about peace and say in all of these circumstances I cannot have peace, then it sure seems like we're just like writing peace off the table. When is our world going to be completely calm, in order, not chaotic, stress-free, and everything going the way it should? If those are our prerequisites for having peace, we can stop right now and leave because we won't get it. We won't have peace. Now, there is a greater peace, as there is a greater joy yet to come, where all those things, I believe, will be true. When the kingdom of God comes and purifies the world and we enjoy God's presence forever, we get to enjoy that kind of peace that we all want. But understanding that we live in a world torn apart by our sin and the consequences of sin and death and being at war with the kingdom of darkness, we cannot assume we will get that peace simply because things are going good at work. So then what is peace? I'm going to give you two answers that the Bible seems to indicate. The first type of peace that the Bible talks about is the peace that one can have with God, as opposed to being his enemy. A lot of times in Romans, Paul will talk about peace in this way, is that you have peace with God. One way for us to think about this in our modern context would be that of in war, right? When a war comes to an end, usually there's a peace treaty because we don't usually go to war until everyone is dead. So usually at the end of a war, there is a signed peace treaty that says, okay, we've been fighting for a long time. You clearly won, so please don't kill us anymore. We surrender. Here are the terms of peace. Our peace with God is not exactly like that. But it is the same idea of peace in that before we believed in Jesus, we were God's enemies. Romans chapter 5 talks about that, how even while we were his enemies, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, to reconcile us, to stop being enemies, and to be made into friends. So the first type of peace that the Bible talks about is the peace that you can have with God instead of being his enemy. As we talked about with joy, this is a peace that is based on the gospel, a peace that has to follow a confession of faith in the plan that God has laid out. We sin. Yes, we are born with a propensity to sin, and yet we are held accountable for our actions, and so we sin in the presence of God in his world. And he says that according to his laws, sin must result in death. But he also provides a way of sacrifice that blood can pay back for sin, but we need perfect blood in a sacrifice. And so knowing that none of us were ever going to be able to do that on our own, God, before the foundations of the world, mind you, set a plan into motion to send Jesus in the flesh to die a death, a horrible death, that, by the way, last week we saw he did with joy. Knowing the joy that was to come, he joyfully endured the pain of the cross to provide a way of salvation for us. So now, thousands of years later, if we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that we're a sinner deserving punishment, that Jesus took that punishment, and that if we believe and follow after him, God has called us his own, we now have a peace with God that those who are still lost do not have. Think about, maybe it was this week for some of you, maybe it was recently, maybe you guys haven't experienced this in a while, count your blessings, it's probably coming, where you had a week where just literally nothing was going your way, right? We often give Mondays a bad rap, but like, this is a kind of a week where it's not just Monday where nothing went your way. You woke up on Tuesday and nothing went your way, even worse than the day before. You have a whole week where everything seems like everyone's just against you. You can't get anything done. I mean, like, your car is against you. Like, it's not even just people. It's literally objects that have no personality are against you, right? You all know what I'm talking about, or do I need to keep describing it? Okay. So, you have one of those weeks. But imagine not having a peace with God, that what you are doing, God is actually opposed to. It's not even just your car, the people at work, it's the creator of the universe that's opposed to your plan, because your plan is opposed to him. For those of us who have believed in the sacrifice of Jesus, who have obeyed the call of the gospel to follow after him, we don't ever have to experience that life again, where we are in opposition, we are opposed to God. There are times in our life where we feel like God isn't working with us or for us. There are times where we feel like God has kind of disappeared. There are times that even willfully we decide to go against God's purpose and plan. But as a state of affairs in the legal books of heaven, we have peace with God. We are no longer having a warrant out to be brought in for justice. We are at peace with the creator of the universe. That is the first type of peace that the Bible talks about. And obviously that kind of peace comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who comes into the believer's heart. But it is not the only meaning, I believe, in the fruit of the Spirit list that Paul is trying to reach. It's not just that you have peace with God, moving on to the next thing. I do believe he's talking more about something along the lines of, like, joy, a positive, good feeling that we all desire. Like, when I say, do you want peace? Everyone's like, yes. Yes, I do. And we all even have this, like, mental picture of what this peace is going to feel and produce in our hearts. But like joy, we often substitute cheap imitations. Now, what I'm going to about to submit to you might come as a surprise, as a substitute for peace. You know, we can talk about how calm can become a sense of peace, or relaxation. You know, we like to take vacations, and so vacations become a sense of peace. But what I'm actually going to submit to you, I believe, is the hidden idol, or the imitation, or like the waxed fruit type of peace, is that of control. We often want control, and when we have it, we think we have peace. When things go according to plan, we have this good feeling, which is not bad, right? Like if you make a good plan and you execute it, you should feel good about it, right? But when things are not going according to plan, when things are out of our control, we very rarely ever say, "That's cool, I have peace about it." We have been duped into believing that things going according to plan produces peace. The Bible clearly states that the Spirit of God produces peace, not the outcome of your plans. We think if we, like God, keep everything in control, everything is ours, everything is going our way, that that is the ultimate peace. But I submit to you today that actually peace has more to do with you falling into line with God's plans than things going according to your plan. I'm going to give you what I worked on for a whole week trying to define these very hard to define virtues. So if you would like to write this down, I believe that the peace being talked about in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, is a holistic harmony with the Creator and thereby His creation. And that sounds probably a little bit new agey. We're going to walk through a couple of those things so that we understand what I'm actually saying and try and eliminate some things that I'm not saying. So again, I believe peace is a holistic harmony with the Creator and thereby His creation. So let's start at the beginning. What do I mean by holistic harmony? Well, many of us might not have the training in classical music that Carolyn has, but I think we know what harmony is, right? Harmony is when two notes are hit and they sound good together, very simplistically put. Dissonance is when two or more notes are hit together and they sound terrible. And so when I'm talking about a harmony, I'm talking about being in tune and being on time and following the conductor, if you will. So when we talk about harmony, it means following someone else. You know, I know a lot of us might have a hard time carrying a tune if it was in a bucket, but luckily that's not the call of the Christian life, is to be able to sing well. But it is a good metaphor, if we can understand it, and how we are to work along with God's plan. Oftentimes, what is going on when we feel we have an absence of peace is that we're trying to do something, but God's trying to do something else. And they might not be astronomically like opposed to each other. Like, you might be close to what God wants you to do, but it's not working. And it's causing there to be dissonance. Actually, dissonance is usually worse when the notes are close to each other. I'm going to give us a small demonstration because I sort of understand how pianos work. So, like this, if the piano's in tune, which who knows, sounds good, right? Sounds pretty good. But this sounds terrible, right? But all of those notes were like right next to each other. So when there is dissonance in your heart and your soul because you're not lining up with God's plan, the dissonance can be simply that you're so close but not quite there. In fact, that's usually the things that you hear the worst are when like you have a choir of people and one person's like a half step flat and it just sounds horrible. And so there can be dissonance that way. I want us to picture peace as the first example, one of harmony, that is based on what God is trying to accomplish. But what do I mean when I use the word holistic? Because lots of people use the word holistic and can get really weird really quick. I don't want us to get too wrapped up in all of the uses of the word, but when I say holistic, what I simply mean is like your whole being, okay? So like it's not just your body, but also how you are thinking and how you are feeling. And as Christians, we, you know, you can debate how many parts a person's made out of and stuff. But like, basically what I'm saying is the immaterial part of who you are, the person you are inside of this body and your body. It's not an either or. Because otherwise I would say it is a spiritual harmony with the creator and thereby his creation. Or I would say it's a physical harmony. When I use the word holistic, I'm using it to mean both. Okay? So I think that was one of the weirder words in that definition. So what I'm talking about, and I believe the Bible is talking about when it's talking about this type of peace, is that your whole being, both your body and your soul, have been tuned and are in harmony with the Creator, with God, who spoke the world into existence, who spoke the laws of science into creation, that everything obeys his voice to the point where Jesus literally can say, "Peace be still," and storms just stop. This is the type of peace that hardly any of us were looking for before we were saved, but it is the peace that we need. And that is the peace that we can have thanks to God's work in the gospel, is this peace with him. And then when I say thereby his creation, I'm not saying that we then start following what the trees tell us and worship all the things in creation. But I think many of us, especially those of us who live in suburban areas or have lived in cities, understand the importance of being able to get out in nature. And again, taking a vacation to a beach, to the woods, is not peace. But there is an element, an echo, if you will, of peace in those moments, knowing that you are in God's creation in nature. And if you are not trying to work against it, there is going to be an element of peace. And so that is why we attribute so many of these things in our life. Taking a vacation, sitting on the beach, taking a hike, sitting by a waterfall. We see these images and we feel peace even if we're not there. But that true peace would have to be one that is based on the relationship with the Creator, not simply enjoying nature, because that will not last. So peace is a holistic harmony with the Creator and thereby his creation. When we try and do things according to our own plans without submitting them to the one who made the world to work, we can easily find ourselves out of tune, out of rhythm with nature, because nature finds its source in its Creator. I'll give you a key example of this. Many of us work very hard. Several of us have more than one job. And we work and we work and we work and we work. We stress, we stress, we stress, we worry, we panic. We are out of control, we're chaotic, and we're all like, "Oh, I don't have peace." And then you wonder, like, maybe if we did what the Creator said and the Creator made the world to work like, maybe we would have some peace, such as like if we took a Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But that doesn't mean that we can just ignore the Sabbath. And I'm not even telling you that it has to be Sunday. It doesn't even have to be a specific day every week. But I do believe that God made us out of dirt and made us to work 6 days and have rest on a seventh day. And we're all surprised, suddenly, that we're all being worn down. Our blood pressures are through the roof. We're gaining weight like there's no tomorrow. And we are just working ourselves to the bone on work, stuff at home, things related to our hobbies. And we work and we work and we work, and we find ourselves out of tune with God. That's going to affect your body. It's also going to affect your spiritual well-being. So if we want to have peace, we have to find and follow what God is directing. And now we're getting close to touching on another hot button Christian topic: how you find the will of God for your life, right? We can talk about this day in and day out, but God's plan for your life, very simplistically, is for you to obey the gospel, to go to war with sin, and to be changed into Christ-likeness. I know that doesn't help you figure out what career you're going to be when you grow up, or, you know, if you are already grown up. I know that doesn't tell you, like, what school you're supposed to go to or any of those things. But God's concern is for your spiritual well-being. So we need to make sure that when we're making plans in our life, that we are attributing the worth of that higher than we tend to on our own. That we evaluate our relationship with God and his creation and with his family before we decide to start making our own decisions based on our felt lack of peace. Now, I don't want you to think from today's message on peace that if you don't feel peace today, the reason is you're terribly out of tune with God. Go figure out what you're doing wrong. Fix it. Because again, that would be just being like, hey, go be happier this week and you'll have joy. How do we know if we are in tune with God? How do we know if we have peace even when things are not going our way, when things are going poorly? First, we find the source of our peace in the gospel. So if you believe in Jesus, you already have peace with God. God is not opposed to you. So if there is opposition against you, it's either God saying like, hey, tweak a little bit, just move, you're almost there. Or it is the kingdom of darkness trying to attack you. If you have stress, which I know all of us experience, but you're in this state of mind where you're just stressed out all of the time, and we're like, where's God's peace? Like, why doesn't God just make this calmer for me? It might be, as many times he has, that God is actually putting you into a stressful situation so that you can experience and follow through in obedience to be courageous. Many of us won't move forward on a plan until we have this peace. And then I ask the question, so why do you tell Joshua, be strong and courageous? You have to be strong and courageous if everything is peaceful? You know? Why does Jesus have to tell us all the time, don't let your heart be troubled, just follow after me, you're going to have troubles in this world? If things are going to be peaceful for following God. Jesus, time and time again, has warned his followers that following after God is going against the world. He says, I'm giving you peace, but not like the world gives peace, but as I give peace. The world would have you believe that if you're in control, you have peace. If you're not stressing out and you're in charge, you have peace. But Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you have peace. You might have to exhibit some courageousness. You might have to be brave and step out when things don't look good to follow God's plan. We must follow what we know to be true from God's word, which we, as believers, have the added benefit of having the Spirit of truth in us telling us, yes, that is what Jesus said. Yes, that is what you are to do. Even when those things don't make sense, even when those things make us angry, even when those things seem like the exact opposite thing we ought to do, that is how we have peace, knowing that we live in God's world, that we are his creation made in his image. If you want a peace that will lead to a day where you live in the kingdom of heaven and there are no worries, there is no stress, there are no anxieties, that's the path. Becoming the God or little king of your world, reining things in, making things fit, is not how you obtain the peace of heaven. You obtain peace of heaven by being in holistic harmony with the Creator and thereby his creation. And again, this peace isn't going to be the kind of thing where you're just like totally calm in every situation. Doesn't mean that like in a car accident, you're not going to like be worried about someone's well-being, or if you're in pain, you're just gonna be like, that's fine, pain is temporary. Like, it doesn't mean those things. What it does mean is that you have perspective that is based on the gospel, the God of the gospel, his created order, that will bring a calmness that is beyond understanding and beyond what we can conjure up on our own, beyond what the world can give us. This is what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. Almost there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, because God is the one who's in charge. So we have no reason to worry. And this is what Paul will say. If you go to the one who is in charge, and without worry, but through prayer and petition, go to God, the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the peace we all long for, that we were designed for, that will come into completion in the end, in the kingdom of heaven. And so when we are here, we're here and now, when things are not going well, we turn to God. When things are going well, we also turn to God and say, are things going well because this is what you want? Or is it going well because I'm just really good at being in control of what I want to be doing and not listening to you? This peace that the Spirit intends to lead all of God's children into is something deep down in us, like joy, that can be experienced regardless of circumstances. And that this peace is knowing that we are God's, that He has made peace with us, not because of what we had done, and that He intends to lead us into His peace if we but follow His direction and are in holistic harmony with Him. Let's pray. Dear and Father, we thank You for the peace that You made with us by doing all of the work, by doing all of the planning, by making this acceptable plan to appease Your holiness and Your justice. We pray that if anyone here today has yet to believe in Your Son and the gospel, the good news, this great rescue plan that You have made, that they would hear today the promise that You give to them, that You will make peace with them, that they will become justified and part of Your family. We thank You for the Spirit who indwells those of us who have already believed and obeyed the gospel. We pray that we would learn to listen to the Spirit more, that we would take time to be still, to be quiet, to listen for the small, still voice, so that we can be in harmony with You, because our lives and our entire existence for all of eternity will be made more complete if we find our lives at peace with You. We pray that our circumstances would not be the evidences of our peace, that what is going good for us brings us this fake sense of peace because we are in control, but that we would not be content to buy cheap imitations for the peace that You offer for us. That we completely would submit to Your plan as the one who made the world by speaking, so that we can have this peace that passes all understanding and gives us security in Christ Jesus, knowing that He is in You and we are in Him. We pray that this week, in our own hearts and in our families, we would begin to experience this peace and call it peace, and know that it comes from knowing who You are through Your word and through obeying what You have told us to do. As Jesus said, that if you love Me, You will keep My commands. And so we pray that we would do that this week, and that peace would wrap us all around, even in things that we don't like, even in hurt relationships, even in stressful situations that we know we're not in charge of, in chaotic circumstances where anything but peace ought to be the outcome, that we would listen and follow Your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.